righteousness for his name's sake. We've seen several ways in which God does lead his people. We see where he leads his people. We see why, for his name's sake. We began last week looking at the fact that we ought to pray for God's leadership. We ought to always be in prayer for God's leadership. And we see all through the Psalms, the psalmist praying for such. He does so in a variety of ways. We see that he prayed to be taught, which is, again, a form of God's leadership. He prayed to be led, prayed to be guided, which is a little different than led. A guide is an attendant. So we want to conclude this third verse with looking at some other ways in which the psalmist prays for this leadership. Again, we see God leads the meek. So you have to have a right spirit in order to be able to follow God's leadership, in order to identify God's leadership. In Psalm 25, in verse 4, Psalm 25, verse 4, he prays, "Show me thy ways, O Lord." Show me. That's God's leadership. To show is to reveal. Reveal to me thy ways, plural. Thy ways. That's what ought to interest us. That's what ought to concern us, is the Lord's ways. We don't have to be shown our ways. We will follow them naturally. But show me thy ways. That is, reveal them to me. Demonstrate them to me. Not only show them to me or reveal them to me, but demonstrate them, illustrate them to me. So it's a prayer here to make visible and obvious the Lord's ways. The more we stay in God's Word, the more obvious God's ways become. I mean, most of us have been saved for some time. It ought to be, God's ways ought to be quite obvious to us. If we've stayed in His Word, His ways are obvious. His ways are visible. So the Lord reveals, or the Lord leads, by revealing and demonstrating to us His ways. There's also a prayer to be made. That is, make me. Again, this is stronger than being led. This is stronger than being guided. This is stronger than being shown. So, lead, guide, show, make me. God shows us His ways all the time. But because of stubbornness, because of depravity, we need to pray that God would force us, that God would drive us, God would compel us in His way. Notice in Psalm 39, the psalmist prays this several places. In Psalm 39, verse 4, "Lord, make me to know mine end." It's not a prayer, "Lord, make me to know how I'm going to die." The rest of the verse makes that clear. But it's a prayer to, "Lord, make me to know that my life is temporary. Therefore, I need to realize what's important and what's not. And the measure of my days, what it is, Make me to know how short life is. There's a reason. That I may know how frail I am. Because it's when you realize how frail you are is when you depend upon God. Unless you realize that, you will not depend upon the Lord. So make me to know how short life is, and we're reminded of that all the time. You look in the mirror, you're reminded how short life is. You drive past a cemetery or a funeral home. You read the obituaries. You're being reminded all the time how short life is. Yet most live like they're going to be here forever, even God's people. And so we have to be made to see these things so we know how frail we are. Psalm 51 and verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Need to know how to be wise. When we ask God to make us something or to make us do something, we're not dictating to God how he does that. That's completely up to him. We just want to be what we ought to be. So our prayer ought to be, make me. Psalm 119, verse 27. Psalm 119, 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Okay, so he shows us his precepts. Make me to understand thy precepts in light of the fact that I am frail. Also notice verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Until we delight in his commandments, we will not pray, Lord, make me to go in thy commandments. Make me to follow you. Make me to obey you, because I delight in thy commandments. Again, if we don't delight in his commandments, if we delight in other things in the world, we're not going to pray, Lord, make me to do right. Make me to do right. Again, it all goes back to that first verse we read. We have to realize who we are, how frail we are, how prone to error we are. So we pray, Lord, make me to go thy paths. God is merciful. So therefore, we should not fear to ask the Lord, make me to go. Make me to go. But again, that's a strong prayer for the Lord's leadership. There's a prayer to be brought, a prayer to be carried. Notice in Psalm 25, Psalm 25, verse 17. Psalm 25, verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. He realizes that he can't bring himself out. So he prays for the Lord to bring him out, to carry him out. That's a form of God's leadership. Psalm 43, verse 3. Psalm 43, 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Now notice, If you're going to pray to be brought, you have to have a destination. And that's his presence and to thy tabernacles. Bring me. Bring me. That goes along with make me. Bring me. If I'm not going to do it on my own, if I'm not going to approach thee on my own, Lord, you bring me. Whatever it takes, you bring me. Psalm 71, verse 20. Psalm 71, verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again. Bring me up again. So it's happened before. From the depths of the earth. Bring me up from the depths of the earth. And there, of course, he's speaking in the context, he's speaking of trials. But there are some other depths of the earth that God's people need to be brought up out of. And that is just the life of the earth. Bring me up out of the depths of the earth. Psalm 142. Psalm 142, verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that, in order, so that I may be able to praise thy name. Again, God's people fall into many prisons. God's people spend much of their life in spiritual prisons many times. We need to pray that God bring us out of those prisons, because you can't follow them until you're brought out of the prison. And most of the prisons that God's people fall into are of their own making. They've constructed it themselves. And we need to be brought out. Say, well, I'll work myself out. If you made the prison, you don't have enough sense. If you made the prison, put yourself in the prison, what makes you think you've got enough sense to walk out of it? I mean, how deceptive is Satan? We made the prison, we put ourselves in it, we better pray that God bring us out. And that's what, again, that's a form of God's leadership. And then lastly, something we've preached on, a verse we've preached on several times, Psalm 119, verse 133. There are many, many truths found in this prayer. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. This is a prayer for a God-governed life. Order my steps in thy word. When you think of the word order, it carries many meanings. It means to arrange. Arrange my steps in thy word. Brace my steps in thy word. Align my steps according to thy word. Order my steps in thy word. Cause my steps to be in submission to thy word. But the word order also can mean priority. You set things in order. It's priority. So he's praying that his priorities be in order. The quickest way to bring the clutter of the world into your life is to get your priorities out of order. And I can guarantee you, every single time, without exception, every single time we find our lives filled with the clutter of the world, it's because our priorities have not been right. You put God first, that will keep the clutter out of your life. You take one day and you put something ahead of God, you've filled your life with clutter. And once you start living in that clutter, guess what? You get used to it after a while. And you begin to adjust your life to the clutter and you begin to add clutter. You know, you read and you see about hoarders. and you think, those people just aren't right. I mean, there's something wrong with their thinking. What about God's people who are hoarders, who hoard up the things of the world? I'm here to tell you, they're not right. There's something wrong with their minds. Order my steps. Set, cause my priorities to be in order. But he says, order my steps. Again, a step concerns the minute detail of a walk. Step is a small, small part of a walk. So he's praying for the minute details of his life to be ordered in God's Word. Not just the big things, what we consider the big things, but the minute things. We are to pray concerning the very minute things. Order my steps. It's as if he's afraid to take the next step until he has God's permission to do so. That's the way we ought to be. It ought to cause us some fear to take a step without God's leadership, without God's direction. So, even in the very small details of our life, we're to be praying that God lead us. So he was looking at the minute details that make up the big picture. People today like to look at the big picture many times, but they don't take into consideration all the minute details that lead to the big picture. So it teaches us here that no action is unimportant. No action in life is unimportant. If a step is important, then there's nothing that is unimportant in our walk. So he's praying, make the most minute details of my life be consistent with thy word. The most minute details of my life be consistent with thy word. Things that we don't consider important, a step, must be consistent with the Lord, word of God. So the Lord leads by, you look at all of these things, teaching, guiding, leading, making, being brought, ordering. It speaks of God's discipline in our life. And the Lord leads by bringing discipline into our lives. Most of God's people are disciplined in the wrong things. They're disciplined for worldly things. And there's no discipline in their spiritual life. They're very undisciplined. There's no order in their spiritual life. And the Lord leads by bringing discipline into our lives. So we ought to always be praying that God would bring discipline into our lives. So each of these prayers, really, if you look at it, is that God would intervene in our life. That God would intervene in our life. A lot of people spend a lot of time getting God out of their lives. I'm talking about God's people. They take effort in getting God out of their life. We ought to be praying every day that God would intervene in our life. Lord, I'm sure I'm going to do something stupid today. I need you to intervene. I need you to intervene and not allow me. I'm sure I'm going to do something that if it's left alone, I can bring spiritual ruin to my life. Lord, I need you to intervene in my life. We ought to want God in our life. And each of these prayers is a prayer that God for God's intervention. And each of these prayers proceeds from a heart that is aware of self. We have to be aware of self. That I will destroy myself, I will destroy my family if left to my own ways. So Lord, guide me. It's a prayer that proceeds from one who is fearful of sin, fearful of self, conscious of the danger of being left to self, being left to our own reasonings, being left to our own desires, being left to our own pursuits. Again, any one of us, if we were left to our own reasonings, we would not be here. We would not be here. But God, in His mercy, has intervened time and time and time again. We ought to want that. We ought to pray for God's intervention. So these prayers also proceed from a realization, I need help. I need the help of God. But it also proceeds from a desire for the Lord. So really, a lot of God's people just need to be honest and need to ask themselves, do I even want the Lord? Do I really want the Lord in my life? And I'm afraid that if a lot of folks were honest, they would have to say no. I really don't. If they really begin to examine, they really don't. So again, each of these prayers proceed from a realization that we're not authority to ourselves. We're not the authority. God is. People will say, well, you need to take control of your life. And I have an idea what they mean. But still, just there's nothing right about that saying. What you need is God to take control of your life. You're not your own master. And you should never aspire to be your own master. So this is to pray, to be led of God, is a desire for a God-governed life. And all the blessing of being led. And again, remember, all the days of my life. All the days of my life, we ought to desire for God's leadership in our life. Next week, we'll begin looking at verse 4. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we do thank you for this 23rd Psalm. We thank you, Lord, for its practicality and how it can be our life, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that it would be our life, that we would look to you as our shepherd every single day of our life, that we would depend upon thee, enjoy the blessing of you being our shepherd. And we do pray today that you would help us, Lord, to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. We pray for the burden today, that you would be with each of them. We pray for the sick. We pray, Lord, for the lost, that you would open their hearts to salvation this day and save their soul. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.